the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch. And very, very happy to be with you. I advise you to stay close to us on Facebook, on Twitter. Stay close to us at philhendryshow.com as well, as we update you continuously on our plans following the 24th of June. Things are solidifying, things are hardening, things are pulsing, things are getting rock hard.
Would you watch it, please?
Sorry.
See how they laugh?
I'm sorry. Things are, you know, firming up. Well, that's... Things are getting, you know...
Stiff.
Shut up. I mean it, bud, because she's pissed already.
Yeah, you know, right off the bat.
Sorry. Things are getting to a point where we're going to be able to announce with, I think, a fair amount of certainty what we're going to be doing. If there is an agent or manager that happens to work on my behalf listening right now and you're panicking, thinking, what does he know that I don't know? Don't worry about it. I'm just sort of expanding on things. I am inflating things. I'm pumping things up. I'm making them big. They're swelling up. And,
you know what, I'm going...
Margaret, take it easy, will you? Okay, it's just me ad-libbing. I'm not trying to go in that direction.
Well, then please, Phil, know that there are women listening to this program. Know that I am a woman as well.
I didn't do anything. I didn't say nothing or nothing.
I've got my eye on you. I'm eyeballing you.
Okay, let's just be cool. Let's just be cool, because we've got a big show here tonight. We have an awful lot that we need to talk about. There's been all kinds of news, and certainly we want to remind you that our website is at philhendryshow.com. Right now there's live streaming video of our show. You can watch a video cast. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch a video cast. This is Customer Appreciation Month, and are people appreciating us, Robert?
Yeah, a lot of new sign-ups on Customer Appreciation Month. A lot of people are taking advantage, you know, of the backstage pass. And if you sign up, you get free seating and everything like that.
A lot of people are confused about it.
What are they confused about?
About the number of the CDs you get.
Well, I don't know what's confusing about it. All you have to do is if you get one free month, you get 1 month sign up, you get one free download of a best of CD. If you do a 6 month sign up, you get 3 free downloads. If you do a 1 year sign up, you get 5 free downloads from our shop. It's all there at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. So, as you know, ever since the spring of 2012, it's been that long, I embarked on the legendary diet that took me from close to 300 pounds down to my strapping, fighting weight at present of 215 to 220 pounds. Yes, I did get it down to 210, and then things beefed up and bulked up, you know, and...
Swelled up.
Shut up.
Hold on. And so I'm up to 220. But I continue to eat, I think, in a very healthy way, except for yesterday when I got that bag of Snickers. Oh, God.
Yeah, and I told you that you were going to suffer an adverse reaction.
It wasn't the adverse reaction. What do you mean adverse reaction?
Didn't you say you felt like your head was going to blow up?
I didn't say my head was going to blow up. It was hot. Very, very hot here in Southern California. The temperature is close to 100 degrees. That's why. It wasn't the damn Snickers I was eating. My head was going to blow up.
You said your head felt like it was going to blow up.
Yeah, because of the heat, man.
Well, then what was wrong with these Snickers?
They had almonds in them. It tasted, it was bad. And potato chips. So it's back to the, you know, it's back out on the beach running like an animal. I also did a small video blog that I put on the website concerning dog crap on the beach. Now, I don't want to be some aging creep that is bugged about dog crap on the beach. I don't want to be an old guy who suddenly takes life's small problems and turn them basically into like the European bank crisis, you know? And the dog crap on the beach!
Well, that's what you did.
No, I didn't. All I said was that there's dog crap on the beach. So if you bring your dog out to the beach, please make sure the thing doesn't crap on the sand. That's all. It's no big thing. It's not asking a lot. Just, you know... When you bring your dog out, just pick the crap up or have the animal not crap, and then he can crap in the car, something like that. I think that's a great suggestion. I know, hold it, Rover, till you get into your master's car and then let it go. I think that's fantastic. Over the weekend, I watched some soccer. Congratulations. I know, it's called soccer, and it's no American audience is really interested in soccer, or maybe that's what you think. Well, times are changing, baby. Anyway, here's something that Americans are interested in. It was a soccer riot. Paris, the streets of Paris were filled with a bunch of rioting French Cars burned, vandalized, ransacked cafes, security fences laying on the ground. A landscape of desolation reigned on Monday night around 9 p.m. in Paris after riots broke out during a celebration to honor Paris Saint-Germain's first French league title in 19 stinking years. The Paris Saint-Germain football club had planned to celebrate its third championship title in France, received the day before, but the festivities planned between players and fans were cut short. 5 minutes, hardly time for photographers to take photos of the players lifting the trophy in front of the Eiffel Tower. After these Paris riots, following the victory of PSG, officials were keen to express themselves via a statement. Was this written in France or something?
Why?
Because it seems like it was translated into English. It doesn't seem like it was, the original was in English.
What are you talking about?
It seems very awkward, the phrases. The English is awkward, as if it was originally French. I can't explain it. It's like this. After the Paris riots, following the victory of the PSG, officials were keen to express themselves. It doesn't sound like it was written by somebody whose English is their first language. Anyway, the conclusion you can draw is that there won't be any more events like this in a public place for Paris Saint-Germain, Paris Police Commissioner Bernard Bucalta said. Today should have been a day of celebration for the city of Paris. The party was spoiled by a few hundred troublemakers who have nothing to do with football. Well, that ain't your call there, Your Honor.
Yeah, but he's the cop.
He's the main cop in charge. What are you talking about?
And so he just gets to make that call?
Well, we don't know what the laws are there. The laws there may very much say that the police, in the case of a police emergency, that's what you don't see. Let me just...
Oh, look at you, taking your glasses off and getting comfortable.
I want to just... You see, Phil, and people listening to the Phil Hendry show, they do things differently in France. They are cultured. They are a people that I like to think are a cut above.
Oh, God.
Take it easy. Excuse me.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
Excuse me. So that when the... What are you doing, bud?
They're taking these glasses, trying them on.
Don't try my glasses.
Look like Mr. Magoo.
Give her glasses.
When the parish... What are you doing?
Is this yours?
Yes, that's my pashmina. Give me... What is he doing wearing it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you look like a fairy.
Will you guys knock it off? Yeah?
Never mind. You know, all three of you, all three of you... If the devil had a hotline, if he had an anonymous tip line, I'd be 24/7 on that thing. What are you laughing at?
If the devil had an anonymous tip line, you'd be 24/7 on that thing? What, are you informing on me?
You should have seen yourself...
You informing on Mr. Henry? That's the question.
No, he should have seen himself. You had a face on you, Phil, that would have scared... It would have scared the pig-faced people in Twilight Zone.
Yeah, okay. God. What scared the pig-faced people in Twilight Zone was the normal face on the girl.
Say that again.
What scared the pig-faced people in... Well, you never mind. All right, so in Paris they had riots, and the football was nuts, and everybody went ape, and the cops there, they get to call the shots, and the city council doesn't, even if they... I don't even know if they have a city council.
You're in Paris. What did they do there when you were there?
What do you mean I was in Paris? What did they do there? I didn't visit their city council meetings.
What did they do?
What do you mean, what did they do?
Well, did they have cops? Did they...
Yeah, they had cops. They got... Paris is one of the best-run cities I've ever seen in my life. I may think this or think that or think something else. I was in Paris prior to the whole Freedom Fry bullcrap 2001 thing. You know, I was there in 99 or 98, but... that's a town where things run just like clockwork, man. Seems like that way to me. They got cops all over the place. They got soldiers all over there. And it's a gorgeous city, you know. And the cultural, the historical parts of the city are very nice. But I wasn't around looking at the city council.
Well, what were you belly aching to the? You said that you made some complaints. That you lodged complaints.
Yeah, you said you lodged a complaint.
I didn't lodge a complaint with the city of Paris.
Well, what were you crying about?
Yeah, what were you crying about?
What do you mean, what was I crying about?
Said you're all bawling about something.
No, I wasn't bawling about anything.
You, Phil, you know I love Paris, and when you came back and you're talking about Paris as if it was a nothing more than a place where you could go to relieve yourself, that hurt me.
I never said that about Paris.
Well,
Yeah, you sort of did.
No, I did not.
What was the thing about taking?
Paris has outhouses, but I'm not saying that, oh, that's what you were up. Paris, if you go to Paris, you will see that on the streets, on the big boulevards, they have bathrooms, they have toilets, but they're not, you know, outhouses like we know them. They're very nice, and they're right there on the street. You can go in, use it, and leave.
Did you use one?
I did, yeah.
And what was the experience like?
Yeah, tell us in detail.
Will you shut up? Tell you in detail.
Well, I think that a lot of that has to do with your negative opinion.
I don't have a negative opinion about Paris at all. The only negative opinion I had was that lady at the Picasso Museum. I already told you that story. I'm not going to go into it again. And we have to take a break. And whose ass is that? Oh, I'm sorry. It's O.J. Simpson. All right.
God, man, that was totally gay.
I didn't know who that they were. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world famous. Why is O.J. Simpson on TV? Oh, look at that poor man. O.J. Simpson, in the 4 years or whatever he spent in jail, has gone from looking... He's gone from looking bad to really bad. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. There's an official settlement, an official Deepwater Horizon settlement, I think, having to do with the Gulf. Is that true? That and more. We come back.
Truth is our bitch.
I don't know.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Things are coming in.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, we're going to talk with Chef Carl Cedilia. That was the story I was looking for. There is a series of new quarter pounders on the McDonald's menu, and I don't exactly know what this means, new quarter pounders, but McDonald's adding three new quarter pounders to its menu as the fast food chain looks to offer cheaper premium burgers while capitalizing on one of its most popular brands. Chef Carl Cedilia, who is the head chef at Ted's Beverly Hills and is also our nutrition advisor here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, is at a McDonald's on in New York City. This is, you're in Times Square there, Chef?
Right, Phil. The McDonald's here at Times Square on 44th Street.
44th. Now, have you tried these new burgers? Can you tell me, first of all, what makes them different from the other quarter pounders?
First of all, I think McDonald's is a restaurant with a great deal of, God, that's good. I'm having a, yeah. Okay. McDonald's is a restaurant, Phil, that has had a menu, consistently quality menu for over 40 years. Every burger that they try, with the exception possibly the McRib, and there was one time a McBurglar. The McBurglar, as you know, was a children's meal, a McBurglar, a small kid burger that was the beef level.
And hold on, Chef, I'm having a hard time understanding you.
Get out of here. Get out of here. These quarter pounders, I better have a quarter pound of meal in a minute, Phil. You know, we are big believers at Ted's of Beverly Hills for obvious reasons of steak and beef and the great beef dishes, and I love a beef patty. The quarter pounder with cheese has been a staple of McDonald's for a long time, but now they are introducing these new burgers. It's going to replace the meaty Angus. Boy, I tell you, I love the meaty Angus. It was the third pounder, which were among the most expensive items on the menu, around $4 to $5.
Chef Cedilia, is this an effort by McDonald's, in other words, not to make the menu necessarily healthier?
Well, it's trying to bring the price down.
Trying to bring the price down. So, say this again, these quarter pounders, the new quarter pounders are replacing what?
The new quarter pounders are replacing one of my favorites called the Angus. Remember the Angus pounder? The third pounder?
Say that again?
Okay. This was the quarter pounders we have right now are replacing the Angus pounded. Okay?
We're talking about pounded.
No, I didn't say pounded. Hold up.
What are you doing?
I'm just getting saliva. My mouth is watering. Look at the burger. Can I get a... please put a vacuum tube in. All right. The quarter pounder...
Oh, my God. Do you have you have a dental vacuum tube?
No. Excuse me. I've been trying to get an extra saliva. The quarter pounder...
So this is why I think this Chef Carl Cedilia is frighteningly obnoxious. The man is overweight, as you know, and now he's almost gargling with his own spit.
Hold on for a minute. What's going on, Chef?
I'm telling you, I want to tell you another more napkins here to come. That is Angus Burger. This is an Angus Third Pounder, which was among the most expensive items on his menu at about $4 to $5. The Quarter Pounder will come in two of the same varieties as the Angus Burger, bacon and cheese. The bacon and cheese deluxe. The third option will be the Habanero Ranch. Oh, just the deliciousness of that. See, I think that's great, you know.
I can't understand. You think it's what?
That's great, motherfucker. How?
Chef Tredilia, this is Margaret Gray. Are you eating right now?
No, I'm on holiday. Quarter pounder is the replacement. I did have a Angus Third Pounder. No. Come on. What are you doing?
What happened?
They took away the burger. No. Oh, okay. They gave me what they did, took away the Angus Third Pounder, and they put in a quarter pounder, right? Now,
all right, what you have to do is answer my questions and not drool so much over the burgers that you're eating. Is that okay?
Well, drool on. They just make sure they don't throw away.
Well, let me talk to the manager there.
This is what I'm talking about. He's drooling, and he's acting like an animal, almost like someone that needs to be chained to a wall.
Did you hear what I said there, Chef?
No, he wants to talk to you. Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
My name's Reggie.
Reggie, how are you? It's Phil Hendry, and we're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir.
The gentleman there, Chef Carl Tredilia, he is doing a feature for my show. He's eating the new Quarter Pounders to tell us how they taste.
Yes, sir, that's okay, but he was creating a scene here with the other customers.
What was he doing?
Well, he was using a lot of napkins. A lot of ketchup was being spread all over the place. He was scaring some of the younger people. There was a great deal of saliva and spit and everything on the counter. So I told him he had to move over here, and the gentleman became upset about that, and I said I would have to ask him to leave if he could not control himself.
No.
And we had to take away one of the burgers.
Why is that?
Because he did not pay for it.
No.
Is that why he's acting up?
Yes, I think he is. No, sir, you have to pay for that burger before you eat it.
Bring that burger away.
I'm going to take it away until you pay for it.
Just pay for the burger, Chef.
I'm going to the next one, you know.
What?
I'm going to apparently he says he thought he was entitled to an extra one. He'd already taken a bite out of it. And it was so delicious that he wanted to keep on eating it.
Well, just give him some money for it, Chef.
He said to give me more money for it.
No.
Give me more money for it. I cannot let you have that, sir. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
If I was anywhere near the city there, I could bring you the money, but I can't do that. Let me talk to him.
I have four of them.
You paid for three. That's all you get.
I supposed to get another one.
What?
Oh, for God, would you swallow the saliva that you have in your mouth?
I have a chunk of meat.
You what?
I have a chunk of meat that I'm savoring.
Says he's got a chunk of meat he's savoring. That ought to sound familiar.
You little... Ow! God! It was a good joke!
Hold on for a minute. What are you doing?
You heard what he said. I listen to those kinds of jokes once. You get one crack at it and one crack alone, and then it's Katie bar the door.
God, it hurts. Where do I get a bag of ice?
In the refrigerator there.
Man, you really nailed him.
That's right. That's called going downtown.
No, that's the burger.
You don't get another burger. You paid for three. All right, so how does it taste? That's why I had you on. How does it taste?
Well, pretty good. But I was going to have another one.
What? Will you quit breathing into the fog? Goon! God, no wonder people are disgusted with you.
I don't want to look at me.
What?
I told my door, it's like, don't look at me.
Are the people looking at you?
No.
What?
Uh-huh.
Is that a yes or a no, man?
I don't know.
I think he said, I don't know.
No, I yell.
He said yes.
No, he didn't. He said yell.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, God, man, you breathing? Oh, man. All right, well, Chef Tredilia, what I'm gathering is the food's damn good there.
I don't think so.
You what?
I don't think it's very good.
He says he doesn't think it's very good.
Then why are you eating it and almost, why are you almost inhaling it with gallons of spit in your mouth and people frightened and running away from you?
Oh, my wife would come on top of garbage, probably.
Oh, you're an idiot, man. I can't understand a word you're saying.
Since he says he's guarding it.
I got my arms around it.
You got your arms around those burgers and you're guarding them.
No way.
Thanks very much, Chef.
All right, just hold the door, yeah.
And we hang up on him because that's the way we like to lock out of some of these bits. Thanks so much, Chef Carl Cedilia, as he is awaiting the arrival of police for stealing an extra hamburger there. That's fantastic. Hey. Meanwhile, Bud is nursing his testicles, which were nailed pretty good by Margaret with a high heel after that crack he made about he's got a chunk of meat in his mouth. That ought to sound familiar to you. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah. Real good update, Phil. You'll pay for that.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com, and philhendryshow.com is where you go for your backstage pass. And now, without further ado, we welcome you here on this Monday night, Margaret Gray. What?
Well, may I ask you first, why are you wearing the sunglasses?
I put the sunglasses on occasionally because I'm suffering from not a hangover. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Excuse me.
I didn't ask you, but I asked him, why the sunglasses?
My eyes feel sensitive because yesterday, I think I told you, I ate a little bit of sugar, and as you know, I'm very sensitive to that.
Why do you lie?
Yeah, why are you lying?
I'm not lying. Why do you say that?
Oh, would you come on, Phil? Pull the other one and see if there's bells on it, will you? Phil, what are you doing?
Trying to pull the other one.
Will you?
Ow! Woo! Yeah, that hurts so bad, it almost feels good.
That's right. Tell him if he does that again, he's going to pull back nothing but what looks like what used to be a hand, and the rest will be wrist and arm.
But if you do that again, you're going to pull back what looks like used to be a hand, and...
You get the idea, Bud, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing the sunglasses because my eyes are sensitive. Is that fine?
Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the Margaret Gray special segment, Celebrity News with Pathos and Poignancy. And the reason why I say that is Dr. Joyce Brothers is dead. Phil?
Don't you want to read more of it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that's right. Dr. Joyce Brothers, the pop psychologist. See, I resent that. Could we rewrite that to say Dr. Joyce Brothers, the psychologist? There. Okay, Robert?
No, I mean, we're on the air right now.
I don't care. Do what I tell you.
We are on the air, Margaret.
I don't care. Okay. Dr. Joyce Brothers, the pop psychologist who pioneered the television advice shows in the 1950s and enjoyed a long and prolific career as a syndicated columnist, author, and television and film personality has died. She was 85. Brothers died Monday of respiratory failure in New York City. Going a long time, Los Angeles.
Whoa. What are you doing there?
I'm reading.
Well, Margaret, you're doing it in a very irritating fashion.
And what do you mean by that?
The lady passed on. Let's have a little respect for her.
I'm having respect. I beg your pardon. You know, just because you're Mr. Announcer.
That's right. And when I hear you being lazy with a copy of the... Read it with a bit of... read it in a crisp and well-paced manner, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Sieg Heil!
Don't give me the Sieg Heil. Just...
Brothers died on Monday of respiratory failure in New York City, according to her longtime Los Angeles-based publicist, Sanford Brokaw. You gotta be putting me on with a name.
That's his name, okay?
Brothers first gained fame on a game show and went on to publish 15 books and made cameo appearances on popular shows including Happy Days and The Simpsons. She visited Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show nearly 100 times. The way brothers like to tell it, her multimedia career came about because we were hungry. Yes, it was 1955. Her husband, Milton Brothers.
Billy put me all on that one.
Did you get a load of that, Milton Brothers?
All right, read it, will you?
Her husband, Milton Brothers, was still in medical school, and Brothers had just given up her teaching position. her teaching position at Hunter College and Columbia University to be home with her newborn fairly... Oh, I'm bored with it.
Well, Margaret...
I'm bored with it.
Dr. Joyce Brothers has passed on. Very disrespectful of you.
No, it's not. I didn't know I'd have to read so much.
You made this big thing before the show that you wanted to read a news story.
That's right. And we don't have to relive it here for the audience, Phil. I said I wanted to read a news story, and I did. I didn't know I'd have to read The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, for God's sake.
You got a point, Mr. Henry. Ms. Gray is at her best when it's kind of hitting, you know, just kind of hit and run.
Yeah, let her do a hit and run.
Yeah, I got your hit and run.
How dare you?
Take it easy. In 1955, I'll pick up where Margaret left off.
Please don't use the term pick up and then look me up and down.
I didn't look you. What is it with you? Every time somebody uses some phrase that you find rather suspect, you so look me up and down.
Well, that was really good. You sound worse than Chef Carl Chedilia.
Man, that's a put down.
No, it's not a put down because she knows that isn't true.
Yes, it is. Because the way you gutturally burped that out, I don't know whether those were words or bits of food.
Give me that thing. Dr. Brothers, I mean her husband Milton, in 1955...
Atta baby, Porky.
In 1955, her husband Milton Brothers was still in medical school, and Brothers had just given up her teaching positions at Hunter College and Columbia University, be home with their newborn, firmly believing a child's development depended on it. God!
The longest sentence in the world.
But the young family found itself struggling on her husband's residency income, so this deadbeat husband had to rely on a woman. Yes, a woman. How do you feel, pal? I'm just kidding. But the young family found itself struggling on her husband's residency income, so Brothers came up with the idea of becoming a multi-billionaire, entering a television quiz show as a contestant. The $64,000 question quizzed contestants in their chosen area of expertise. Of course, this was back in the days when they gave people the answers, and so Dr. Brothers was already well ensconced in the winner's column weeks before she went on the show. No, it doesn't say that.
Well, how do you know that's not the case?
I don't, but I think this might be post-quiz show, because she says she memorized 20 volumes of a boxing encyclopedia. Oh, bull crap! And with that as her subject, became the only woman and the second person to ever win the show's top prize. Brothers tried her luck again on the superseding $64,000 challenge, answering each question correctly and learning the dubious distinction as one of the biggest winners in the history of television quiz shows. Aha! Here it is. She later denied any knowledge of cheating, and during a 1959 hearing in the quiz show scandal, a producer exonerated her of involvement.
Now, why do you say uh-huh?
Well, you're the one that was talking about this. Do you think that she was telling the truth?
Well, I think it's interesting if they were doing this and they were giving the answers to people, why didn't they give them to her?
She was too smart.
Well, Charles Van Doren was smart.
Yeah, Charles Van Doren was smart, too.
How do you know?
I don't know.
They had a movie about it. I know you didn't see it.
I saw Ray Fine.
Ray Fine.
Great.
Saw one of them.
Well, it's got to be the one, and you didn't see Quiz Show. What'd you see?
It was close to it. It was, well, Schindler's List.
Yeah, that's not even close to Quiz Show, dude. Not even close to it.
Well, you think of it in a really...
How dare you say that it was like a Quiz Show, Schindler's List? Someone should take you out and soften up that already soft head of yours. I swear to God, let it be me. Let it be me. I bless the day I found you.
Give me that, will you? Is everybody losing their minds on this show tonight?
Man, you thought so thinking about beating up Bud.
No kidding.
That's what I've been driven to.
Let it be me.
Oh, man.
All right, in any event, Dr. Brothers, what time is it? Okay, Dr. Brothers, her husband, not being able to earn enough money to keep tap water on, she had to go and prostitute herself on a TV show, splaying herself in front of the television producers and saying, "Hi, big boy." She exhibited an acumen and tuition that, yes, she may have been in possession of, but possibly not. Later, during the quiz show scandal hearings, a producer, whatever his name is, exonerated her of involvement, even though Charles Van Doren, one of the best-known names in American literature, his entire family's name dragged through the mud, but it was Joyce Brothers. She came out smelling like a rose, baby.
Well, that's Joyce Brothers and Dick Clark, the two of them.
Why do you say that?
Joyce Brothers came out of the quiz show hearing smelling as clean as a baby's you-know-what.
Yeah, smelling like a baby's you-know-what.
No, as clean as... I don't know... Why would you say smelling like a baby's you-know-what?
Because it's clean.
Oh, you... We... Came out clean. What about Dick Clark?
What did you... What did he just...
Yeah, y'all like...
What about Dick Clark?
Dick Clark came out of the Paola hearings the same way. I've maintained for years, and I'm working on a book about this, that Joyce Brothers and Dick Clark, what's going on there?
Well, they're both dead.
There you go, bingo.
That's terrible.
No, that's not terrible.
Yes, it is. You're still working on that book?
Well, I guess I've got an ending now anyway.
2 years later, NBC offered a trial on her, she was offered a trial on an afternoon television program in which she advised on love, marriage, sex, child rearing, sex, love, marriage, and sex. Its success led to a nationally telecast program about sex, love, child rearing, and marriage, and subsequent late night shows where she talked about sex, love, marriage, and menopause, frigidity, impotence, sexual enjoyment. I mean, two ways, three ways. She also dispensed advice on several phone-in radio programs, sometimes going live. She was criticized by some for giving out advice without knowing her callers' histories, but Brothers responded that she was not practicing therapy on the air and that she advised callers to seek professional help when needed. She's the first one to give the old disclaimer, see?
Well, I still think that it set a very dangerous precedent, Phil. You have people listening to these radio. I think it was a dangerous precedent. Now, I think Joyce Brothers was good. But when you get to the level of a Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who I've had my issues with, as you know, Phil.
Well, no, I don't, and I don't care to comment on that.
That's fine. I'll keep you clear of it. I'll keep you well out of it. You too, Bud. You too, Robert. But Laura, if you're listening, you and I, we have unfinished business. We have unfinished business, Laura, and I'll refresh your memory. It was a late winter night, a fire going in the fireplace, a cabin at Arrowhead. A car pulls into the driveway. Its lights go out. All you see is the moon glistening off the snow. Two figures get up.
Will you come on? Whatever you got going on with her, we can hear about later.
Oh, my attorney will be with you.
Despite criticism of the format, the call-in show took off, and by 1985, the Association of Media Psychologists was created to monitor for abuses. Not once have they come up with anybody abusing anybody. They get their kickback, and that's fine. Dr. Drew Pinsky has offered his medical expertise in radio and television formats, first pioneered by Brothers, was among those sharing reaction to her death on Monday. Knew nothing about her history and the $64,000 question, but I did know Joyce Brothers, he wrote on Twitter. She was a pioneer and very, very knowledgeable. Other celebrities including Paris Hilton, rapper Common, and motivational guru Tony Robbins posted bits of Brothers' advice on Twitter, such as the best proof of love is what?
What is it, Phil? I don't want to do it.
What is it? The best proof of love is what, Bud?
Best proof of love is, well, trust.
That's right. The best proof of love is trust.
Oh, you're lying to me. He didn't have that.
Yeah, I did. I just knew it.
Very good, Bud.
I don't buy that. Did you give him the answer?
No, well.
You gave him the answer.
Never mind, Margaret. The best proof of love is trust. Dr. Joyce Brothers has passed on at the age of 85. I'm Phil Hendry, and we'll be right back here with more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A Mayan pyramid, an ancient pyramid, yes, an antiquity, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what? It was bulldozed.
Hey!
Whether it was on purpose or whether it was by mistake, a Mayan pyramid dating back at least 2,300 years has been bulldozed in Belize. Way to do it! Yes! Yes! Yes, we'll be back with the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and more right after this.
Truth.
I don't care about the pyramid.
Bitch.
The lying. This Phil Hendry lying show idiot here.
I tell you, I knew it.
You guessed it.
I knew it.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Desmond Tulane is going to join us in a moment, a member of a construction crew that that did something similar to this next story I'm going to be reading to you, and that is the bulldozing of a pyramid in Belize. Mr. Tulane was a part of a construction crew in the southern part of Mexico in a province down there called, was it Jalisco? It wasn't all the way south, it was Jalisco. And they came upon some kind of an archaeological ruin that first glance they thought was part of a structure of a home that they were going to be adding to, or at least destroying and then adding to, but something terrible happened. They used explosives and blew out of the ground not only the foundations of an ancient temple, of some kind of place of worship, but also destroyed some 300 mummies that had been stored there.
You look like a Mayan mummy?
Well, there was some kind of a mummification of that cult. What culture was it?
I believe it was the, was it the Aztecs? Bud, do you know?
Let me look. The Aztecs and the mummies.
That's not the mummy is not a tribe.
Oh, that the mummy tribe?
No, the mummies were mummies. What do you mean, what's the tribe?
Think of it.
Aztecs. And there were 400 mummies or something that these guys just destroyed with dynamite, along with the sarcophagus, the burial chamber, along with extensive damage to this worship, this place of worship, I should say, this temple. And then there was an aqueduct that they had found, some 3,000-year-old aqueduct that they went ahead and purposefully blew up because they were trying to hide the evidence that they had actually blown up. You understand what I'm saying?
No, wait. This is criminality at its highest. You're kidding.
Not really, because, no, I'm not kidding. And what do you mean criminality? The criminality is blowing up. We might as well get the guy on the line. His name is Desmond Tulane. And we're speaking to him here. He is in San Diego. Mr. Tulane, it's nice of you to join us here on the program. How are you?
Yep.
And can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you very well.
Now, what were you a part of a construction crew in Jalisco, and what were you doing there?
Well, we are part of the public works.
So you're some kind of a public works project?
Yes, it was part of the sanitation system that was being put in for the village there on the pond. And then it was going to run, the sanitation system was going to run along with the water purification system for the village there.
Now, when you blew up, you guys were, what were you doing? Why were you using explosives?
Well, the explosives were not supposed to be there. They were not supposed to be there. They were carried there by one of the workmen who were bringing that to a brother-in-law where they were going to have a fiesta. And he had brought the explosives along that he had purchased from a friend. So those are not to be there. But because there was a demolition to take place, not demolition, but I should say the pulling down of the superstructure, they decided they wanted to use explosives.
Why did they decide they wanted to use explosives?
I don't know. To see the effectiveness, to look at the result, I guess.
So these were not they were not allowed, they were not supposed to blow this thing up?
No, we were supposed to pull it down, yes, sir. But they decided they wanted to see it get blown up. They wanted to take a picture of it or something, I don't know. Because the next day, I understand it went on a Facebook page.
Of what? You guys blowing this up?
Please, Mr. Henry, I want to make clear I didn't have nothing to do with blowing it up. I was a part of the labor crew that pulled down the foundation of the temple, and I'm very sorry for that. But Jaime Bonin was the one who used these explosives, and the pictures were on Facebook and on MySpace.
Okay, so he blew up an ancient Aztec temple. You guys helped pull this thing down.
Yes.
And then you found, and also these mummies?
Well, that was a part of when they were afraid to uncover the dead. You see, that's when we blew the dead up, too. Because it went from being just a project to clear away this old structure to put in the water for purification. But when we found the mummies, we became frightened. And we thought that we had run and had displeased the ancient Aztecan god. And so we had left no choice but to blow the mummy to pieces.
So you blew these mummies up on purpose, just like you blew up the aqueduct?
That is correct, yes. But you must understand that the religion We had the primitive southern Mexican Indians, the Mesquite Indian workmen were with us. They felt that we had run afoul of the tomb, and there was no choice, no choice at all, but to blow the mummies to pieces and to pray to God that the mummy would not, you know, there would be no curse to rectify that which had been done to their ancestors.
I don't understand anything you've just said, but let's just, because I got to wrap up. Then you guys blew up the aqueduct.
Then, yes, we realized we'd gone too far in displeasing what they felt. The Mesquite Indians felt we had displeased the gods, but I knew that I was going to get fired, basically. So you have three levels. You have my brother-in-law who blew up the foundation of the temple just to see what it looked like and get pictures on Facebook. They blew up the mummies not so the mummies would speak to the gods because of this. The Mesquite wished for this. And then, to cover the whole thing up, we decided to blow up the aqueduct.
So you guys wound up using explosives on the structure you needed to pull down because your brother-in-law wanted to get pictures on Facebook, but then you blew up the mummies because the Mesquite Indian workman you had with you didn't want to displease the gods. Is that it?
That's sort of it. It sounds, the way you said it just now, it sounds real weird.
Yeah, let me tell you, it sounded pretty weird coming from you. And then you purposefully blew up the aqueduct to cover it up.
Yeah, to cover up the bulldoze. And that it was not effective because we didn't cover up anything. They found it the next day. They found the bulldozer half. They found the bulldozer with only half of it buried and a mummy. A mummy sitting in the bulldozer. And I tried to get them to believe a mummy was driving the bulldozer. You're not going to get them to believe that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much for having me on your program.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
What's wrong?